Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the broadcast for July 12th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. All right, folks, I'm going to skip the recap we usually cover. I'll cover that later in the broadcast if we have time. But as you know, we've covered from the very beginning a lot of these cases where the government is absolutely got rogue elements in it that are out of control. And I don't think it's the whole government, and I don't think it's everybody in government, and I don't think your next-door neighbor or a lot of good people can be completely held responsible for this, but there are rogue agents in government that are certainly a problem. They're certainly out of control, over the top, and violating the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, and many, many other laws as well. The right of due process, I could go on forever in my discussion about this, as you all well know. Well, we covered the 2014 Bundy Ranch defense scenario very well at the time. Richard Mack was there, many others, and thank heavens it remained peaceful. And I submit to you that it was good, honest Americans coming to the aid of their countrymen that created the peaceful outcome. I think the government was heck-bent on creating a crisis, which they armed themselves to the teeth and went on scene to create. The only abuse that took place there, the only violence that took place there, happened from government officials, right? And we highlighted that, discussed that. Now, Randy Weaver, for example, we've covered his case, where Lon Horiuchi, the evil sharpshooter, hired government gun, literally murdered Randy Weaver's wife with a baby in her arms. And Randy Weaver, all he did was cut off a gun a little too short. It turns out that a government provocateurs who conned him into doing it in the first place. But does our right to keep and bear arms relate to how long the government can demand it be? If it's cut off too short, your wife gets murdered? Well, eventually there was a payout by the government to Randy Weaver, but that's not enough either. Wrong was done there by belligerent government, and wrong was done at the Bundy Ranch. But you know what? Ranchers have been ran out of business left and right. This is about property. This is about liberty. And the Wayne Hague family has been battling the federal government over land for decades. I repeat, decades as well. We had Ramona Hague testifying literally at the National Press Club about her ordeal with the federal government that's multi-generational. Wayne Hague, her father, was abused, and the abuse continues. Never mind the judge said that the government was guilty of racketeering. The government continues to abuse innocent people everywhere. That's why we created the freedomcoalition.com, because we need to help innocents in prison. Well, anyway, we fast forward then to the Oregon issue, and we were with Ammon Bundy and others at the peaceful rally that took place. Well, then you know what happened, and we covered the details of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge scenario probably better than anyone. We've been on the scene with all the details to the best of our ability. Interviewed Ammon from inside the refuge. Now we're doing our best to free innocents in prison. Well, just so you know, this discussion we're about to have today is not about the Oregon issue at all. Why? Well, because in Oregon, ladies and gentlemen, they were found not guilty. Can I repeat that for clarity's sake? The jury of their peers said, judge, government, you're wrong. They're not guilty. And the government lost big on that one. Thank heavens, due process of law happened. The justice was done. But there were agent provocateurs crawling all over that scenario as well. And the government refused to allow us to document who they were. We know some of them, but many of them we don't know. And the big issue that I had with Ammon Bundy was not that he was necessarily doing wrong things per se, but that I felt like it was a setup. The Randy Weaver scenario was a setup, and the Oregon scenario, I believe, was and is a setup. Well, now the jury agreed with the folks in Oregon, the Patriots in Oregon, and said not guilty. I repeat, not guilty. Well, now they're kind of going back with a, in my opinion, a slight double jeopardy payback scenario and attacking Patriots in Nevada over the Bundy Ranch scenario. And I say double jeopardy because it all stems from the same thing. Ammon was free after the Bundy Ranch scenario. What he got arrested for was Oregon. But then what they did is just pile on charges and, well, take him to Nevada and say, well, you might be free from Oregon, but we'll never let you go. We'll keep trying you till we get a conviction. We'll literally deny you the ability of due process to take evidence and deal with it appropriately. That's what's being done. Well, now the trials are starting, and we've got an update of a lifetime for you. And we've got two guests on the line. First off, we've got Tim Starks, who's been following this in great detail, well-known security expert, patriot in his own right. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, Tim.
Sam, thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome, sir. Now, Ammon Bundy and others might be the most high-profile people in these cases, but they're not the only ones being abused. As you know, we've covered Pete Santilli and the wrongful treatment he's received. In fact, I was the one that was asked to go into the refuge. I didn't go, but Pete did go, and now he's been in jail. They call him a, quote, co-conspirator. But understand the government has committed, or I'm sorry, the government has not proven a conspiracy of any kind in Oregon or in Nevada. Now we've got Andrea Parker on the line with us as well. And she's the wife of Eric Parker. Now, Eric, in my opinion, has been absolutely wronged to the nth degree on this. We'll get into that as well. Andrea, welcome to Liberty Roundtable.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully my summary wasn't too long-winded, but it's you got to set up these complicated situations a little bit so people kind of get the context. Tell us a little bit about Eric's scenario. He came to the rescue of Americans that he felt like were being wronged. The government armed up against these unarmed Americans at the time. And Eric and many others, including me and Richard Mack, and felt like there was a wrong there and we had to stop the violence that was escalating by the government. Is that where it started?
Absolutely. You know, we're from Idaho. We were living in Idaho at the time. And he first saw things coming across social media, you know, the First Amendment zone. And, you know, thinking, we live in America, you know, there's no such thing as a First Amendment zone. And I remember seeing that picture and thinking, well, you can't really tell where it is. It's kind of a picture of a sign and a marked off area in the desert. And I'm like, well, that could be anywhere. Because some of the stuff you see on Facebook is not true. And then it goes into us seeing, you know, the arrest of Dave Bundy, Ammon Bundy being tased. Of course, we don't know who the Bundys are at this time. We're just seeing, you know, protesters being beat up for taking pictures on the side of the road. They're being tased and had attack dogs sicked on them. And we see Margaret Houston being thrown to the ground. Then we watch a video where they're calling the police. They're calling the ambulance. This lady has been tossed to the ground. She's bleeding. And they're calling the ambulance, and the ambulance won't come. And I think that that was a big part for us is like, you know, you see these people trying to protest outside of a First Amendment area and they're being harassed by BLM agents and the police won't come.
And let's be clear, it started out as peaceful, unarmed protests, we might add.
Yes. And they, well, I wouldn't say peaceful because these, you know, the BLM agents were attacking people.
That's right. But I'm saying it started out as peaceful protests, and then the only people who have committed violence so far is the government. But go ahead.
Absolutely. The BLM. And so that's what got Eric to drive down from Idaho to see what was really going on.
And Sam, I would just like to add to your comments about the guns that were involved here, that people were carrying guns on them. Well, we have rights as citizens to be able to carry our guns on us and this is not breaking the law. And I believe personally that people brought those guns to sensationalize and bring attention to the whole thing so that people would understand what was going on out there. You know, some of these men have been charged with the idea that the government believes that they were going to use those guns in an illegal way. Well, I believe they were just using those guns to bring attention. So how these men can be charged with charges just because the government believes they were going to break the law with those guns is just mind-boggling that this could happen.
Well, let's be clear. The only people that have used guns in a violent way thus far, other than for defense, is the government. They literally murdered Randy Weaver's wife with a baby in her arms. And then they've also murdered Lavoy Finicum. The FBI got caught lying as well. Let's be clear of where the crimes have been committed and where the violence has started, ladies and gentlemen. The others are in self-defense mode. We'll talk about that in seconds. We got two guests on the line. We're breaking it down because the trial's starting for the folks in Nevada.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, our guests are Andrea Parker, Eric Parker's wife. We're talking about the Nevada trial. There was a mistrial already. They're playing games here. They're going to keep trying until they convict, it seems to me. I don't know where Double Jeopardy starts or ends or whatever, but they're playing games for sure. Due process is being violated at every turn, in my humble opinion, by rogue agents in government. So Andrea Parker's with us. Tim Starks is with us. And Tim wisely points out, just because Americans have guns, there's no law broken there. We have the right to keep and bear arms, and that right shall not be infringed. So Eric Parker, doesn't know Ammon Bundy. He's hearing stuff in the news and seeing bloody people because the government ratcheted up peaceful protests and the government became violent. And then what we've got is Eric deciding, you know what, I'm going to go down there and see what the heck's going on here. So he rolls down to see what's going on, and then what happens, Andrea?
Well, he was in Bunkerville for less than 24 hours. He just showed up right as everything was happening. So when he got there, the next day they had a rally, and that was like, at the stage, it was closer to Bunkerville. You know, I wasn't there myself, but the sheriff came to this rally, and the sheriff got on the stage and he announced that the BLM had ceased operations, that they were stopping what they were doing and they were going to pull back. And he said something to the fact of, you know, all the people were like, what about the cows? And he said, that's what we need to talk about. And of course, I've seen all this because I'm sitting in the courtroom and they've played all the videos. But at the time, there's a lot of people there. I mean, hundreds of people have come to Bunkerville to stand up for this family. And then the sheriff comes out, the sheriff of the town, and he says the BLM are ceasing operations and they're packing up. And so there was a lot of rejoicing. A lot of people were happy about this. They thought that they had won and it was over. And then Clive and Bundy makes his speech about taking down the toll booth at Red Rock and Lake Mead. Now, there's a backstory on this as well. Previous to that, out at Red Rock, there was a young kid that was shot for riding his four-wheeler around out at Red Rock. And I believe he was shot and killed. And I believe that that's where Cliven was coming from this. Like, it's not just the farmers. It's these people who are supposedly supposed to be taking care of this public land that are harassing everyone and anyone that is using it. And so he made this speech about, you know, you've got to take down these toll booths and disarm the BLM and bring their weapons under these flags and lay them out, you know. It was kind of one of those things where you hear it and you're like, that's never going to happen. You know, everybody knows that's not going to happen. They're not going to take the toll booths down at Red Rock and Lake Mead. And he gave them an hour to disarm the BLM. And after that, I don't know, talk about the cows. I'm not sure. It was very confusing. It wasn't, even in the videos, it's not straightforward. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of things going on. But basically, to Eric, here's the sheriff saying that the BLM has ceased operations and they're packing up. Pretty much, okay, we're here. We came too late. after Cliven gives them the hour, they wait the hour. Cliven gets back on the stage and he says, the sheriff hasn't come back. We're going to go down and bring the cows back. And to Eric, you know, they thought they were going down to a place where the BLM had left and left the cows, and they were going to watch the cows come home. And I think a lot of other people thought that as well. So this entire group of hundreds of people starts going down to the Topok Wash, and nobody knows where this is. They're all just following. And that's when they are met with the heavy-handed BLM with all of their weapons. And their strike teams and the Park Forest Service with their strike teams.
And the real question at this point for honest Americans who are honest with themselves is this. Where on earth does the BLM think they can become law enforcement at the same time? But that's what's happening right now, right?
Absolutely. In fact, in the courtroom, they call them law enforcement officers. Sitting in the courtroom, I heard that, you know, they've armed the BLM and the Park Service. And when you think they've armed the BLM, what do you think? Like, oh, they have like a handgun? No. The BLM, they talk about what is normal for them in their normal weapons for them to have. And it's like a handgun, a shotgun, a rifle, and an AK. That's what they're armed with. All of those things, as well as a pepper gun and, you know, a pepper ball gun. And there's another gun that shoots tear gas or something like that. And to me, what do you think about when you think BLM? Like for me in Idaho, BLM and Park Service, you know, they come and write you tickets if you're fishing without a license. I never in my life imagined that the BLM are walking around with AKs and long rifles and all of these things. You know, it's shocking to think, and it makes me look at Park Service and BLM agents a lot differently. It also came out in court that they used the excuse that the war on drugs is the excuse for arming the BLM and the Park Service because they need to have that many weapons. They need to have strike teams and things for marijuana growth. For, you know, people who grow marijuana in the middle of the forest, I guess, or on BLM land, and they need to go in and strike that. Well, my question is, why are we not getting the police involved in those issues? Should it not still be the police that go in and after this? And I believe it's just a way to make a militarized force that doesn't have to take an oath to the Constitution.
And that's the big problem we have, is we stand for the checks and balances, we stand for due process, and these principles that are being violated here. If you have a BLM, a rogue government agency that has, you know, these merged powers, what you have is judge, jury, and executioner all wrapped into one.
Well, and Sam, here's another.
Go ahead,
here's
Tim.
Another thing that's really concerning about this is that now, when a person, you know, lives in their county, they have to worry about their state laws, their county laws, and now the BLM laws and regulations, whatever they have, the EPA, whatever they have. So there's so many policing forces and regulations that a person possibly can't know if they're even breaking the law now because of all these separate entities that decide to make their own laws without passing them through Congress. And then now they've got their own team and their own enforcement arm. Instead of using the sheriff's department or the local police department like they should, they just go out and do what they want. And that's the travesty in all of this, is that the BLM that we're talking about can now do whatever they want without going through the county.
And the problem that I have with the whole thing is these checks and balance violations. Now, headlines from mainstream press says prosecutors struggle to prove conspiracy in Bundy cases. However, it's not that they struggle to prove them. They haven't proved them at all, Andrea.
Yes. The first trial ended in a mistrial for these four individuals that are going back. And it's actually Eric and his, and two people that he drove from Idaho with, and one gentleman from Montana. And the jury, even for all six, could not find the conspiracy. In fact, at one point they had found that there was no conspiracy, and then they went back and changed their verdict there. And that was because I believe that the judge confused everyone and made it sound like if you found that there was no conspiracy, then you couldn't find anyone guilty of anything. And they wanted to go back and find Greg Burleson and Todd Engle guilty of a few things. So they changed their plea there. And they're still having trouble with this conspiracy. And I feel like it's because here you have these people from Idaho, from Montana, from Arizona, you can't link them to the Bundys because they didn't know the Bundys. They didn't come.
Well, and you can't say there's a conspiracy because that would have to have forethought, foreplanning, previous negotiations and preparations, which didn't happen either.
Exactly. And so they're having a real trouble with this. Now, we are tier three. They broke the Bundy Ranch trial people into tiers. Of course, this is after they've held them for 17 months.
Now, let me stop you there. So speedy trials and the right to due process does not have tiers to them, Andrea. This is, again, the way they're playing the game to manipulate. And one of the things that they want to do with these tiers is the prosecutors asked to retry the men, certain people, before Bundy's go to trial. What they're trying to do is they're trying to use these tiers against each other and set the stage to force guilt. They did that in Oregon, and a couple of people got caught in their snare. The rest went free because the jury saw the truth. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk more about this in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hang tight.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. 500,000 people working for the Department of Veterans Affairs have lost their jobs since the president took office. The scandal-plagued VA is actively demoting, removing, firing, suspending people. Congress passed legislation to make it easier for the VA to fire employees for misconduct while better protecting staffers who bring wrongdoing to light. The secretary has begun publicly sharing weekly updates. Texas will soon allow its citizens to carry knives with blades longer than 5.5 inches in public. The new law takes effect September 1. The legislation repeals the ban on daggers, including dirks, stilettos, swords, spears, and bowie knives. Restricted areas, though, would be schools, churches, prisons, and bars. Minors would not be able to carry the knives. Speaking of the legislation, State Representative John Frollo said, quote, "It's not making criminals out of people who have no intention of cheating some kind of law or creating some kind of criminal act. It'll be your right to carry a long knife with you. They are cumbersome. It's doubtful many people will do it." You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low delay, crystal clear audio over the internet. AudioCompass.com.
There is a place you can go to get up to speed quickly on all the stories that matter to freedom-loving people. GovernAmerica.com features news and commentary about Agenda 21, technocracy, the economy, border violence, and more. Go to GovernAmerica.com. That's GovernAmerica.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
We're talking about the retrial of the Bundys versus the BLM. Bunkerville standoff scenario. Jury selection begins for the retrial. They had a mistrial, folks. They're really going for broke because the government's got egg on their face on this. Prosecutors are unable to prove conspiracy in Bundy cases because there was no conspiracy. We're talking to Andrea Parker, wife of Eric Parker. Eric went down to see what the heck was going on, spent less than 24 hours at the ranch. And now they're trying to act like Eric's involved in some big conspiracy. So what Andrea is saying is they've now divided these people that were all involved at different stages. They didn't know each other in advance or anything. They all just wanted to help as concerned citizens stop government aggression. So now you're saying that there's tier three and that's what your husband belongs in, or they placed him in?
Absolutely.
I shouldn't say belongs in.
Initially, when they were arrested, we were told that the government needed extra time, even though there had been 2 years between the event and when they were arrested.
Okay, and they violate the principle in the Constitution about a speedy trial with that whole request.
Yeah, that was written off because it was called a complicated case. They needed to prepare to be able to try 17 people in the courtroom at once. Well, we wait for the year, over a year, and then come to find out that they're not going to try 17 people in the courtroom at once. No, they're going to break them down into tiers. Now, how they did this is as soon as they said they're going to try, they need a year to prepare to try 17 people at once, all of the guys put in motions to sever so that they could have their speedy trial. And so they all put these motions in, and then the judge did not rule on any of those motions until it was time to start the trial. And then she said, well, we're just giving you what you wanted. We're going to break you guys up so it'll be easier for us. And you're the one that put in the motion, so we're just giving you what you wanted. And all these guys were like, no, that's what we wanted a year ago when you were going to hold us for a year so you could make up this, so you could try us all together. And now that we've waited the year, you're going to break us into tiers. And right before they go, they decide they're going to put tier three first. Now, tier three is the gunman tier. They claim that...
So hold on. All the government officials that pointed guns at innocent Americans, they're all in this tier to be tried, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They're actually going to come in and cry on the witness stand.
I see.
But they said that this tier was the least culpable. And I do not believe this one bit. What I believe is that they brought these guys in because they would like a conviction, and they thought, we can get a conviction on these gun charges the easiest. And they wanted convictions before they went into the Bundy trial.
Go ahead, Tim.
Now, Andrea, let me ask you something. From what I understand, this is all based on what they believe they would have done. There was no crime committed. They believe that they could have committed a crime here. Is that not correct?
Well, they claim that there was crimes committed. They claim that they assaulted federal officers. They conspired against the government. They interstate travel in aid of extortion. They're calling the releasing of the cows extortion from the government, obstruction of justice. I mean, there's 16 different charges, and they're claiming that these charges did happen.
Well, now, but Eric didn't once have a confrontation with a BLM agent, though, did he?
No.
And the only interaction he had, I think, was it that a police officer came up to him while he had his gun and just asked him to step over the line and stay on the other side of a yellow line or something, didn't he?
Absolutely. He stepped over his legs as he was laying on the road and told him to pull his legs back so that he didn't possibly get run over.
And never once.
And that was Nevada Highway Patrol.
And never asked him to put his gun away or anything, right?
No.
Oh. And did Eric move his legs? Did he comply?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. This is what really bothers me about this case. How would Eric think he was breaking a law or doing anything wrong when there was police officer presence, and they never once asked him to leave or put his gun away? They just told him to put his foot back on the other side of the line here.
And he did comply. Now, there's nothing wrong with traveling anywhere. There's no rule that says you can't travel somewhere.
Well, and I travel with my gun, and it's perfectly legal to travel across states with your gun. There's nothing illegal about that.
Well, and Todd Engel, he was actually found guilty of two charges. He was found guilty of obstruction of justice and interstate travel in aid of extortion. Now, Todd Engel's videos. Now, mind you, there is video of this from seven different angles on body cams, on car cams, from airplanes, all kinds of things. And in this video, it shows that Todd Engel was up on that bridge, and the second he saw BLM agents pointing weapons, he went and got Nevada Highway Patrol, brought them over and said, look, they're pointing weapons at us. And he stood there with Nevada Highway Patrol the entire time, working with Nevada Highway Patrol, telling the guy, please help us here. Help us. They're pointing weapons at us. And he gets obstruction? How is that obstruction of justice when you go and get a police officer and bring him over and say, see, this is what's going on, and stand on that bridge with that police officer almost the entire time? And at the end, when everything was over and it ended peacefully and the BLM backed up and left, him and the Nevada Highway Patrolman slap each other on the backs and have a handshake. It's all on video, yet he gets convicted of obstruction of justice and interstate travel in aid of extortion.
Well, and what this is all about, this is just an example that there are certain rogue elements in government, you know, probably even in the BLM here, that do not want the people to have a voice. They do not want the people to stand up against corruption. And the minute you do, they're going to stomp you down so that no one else feels empowered to do the same. This is all about making sure no one else in this country gets the idea of standing up for what's right. And they want to make an example of these guys for standing up. And this is a sad day when people in our country stand up for other people in their country who are being mistreated and who are being suppressed, and they are being made an example of. And that's what this boils down to, Sam. This isn't about the law being broke. This isn't about conspiracy. This is about trumped up charges. It's about a railroad trial taking place right now in Nevada. People need to wake up in this country and pay attention.
Amen to that. Now, there is conspiracy, though. There is breaking of the law on the government side of things, though. This idea that you can hold somebody for 17 months because you say it's too complicated to try them all at once. Then at the end of that, you say, well, we're not going to try them all at once. That violates the intentional speedy trial scenario. Due process of law says that you would lay out all sides of the case. You would appropriately handle the due process to make sure that, you know what, justice is done. And now what you're saying is these guys are supposedly guilty of obstruction of justice. The only one obstructing justice is BLM agents that have gone rogue in bed with judges and other officials that have egg on their face from Oregon because the jury agreed with the Patriots. And what we've got is, in my humble opinion here, you've got violations of the law by government officials. You've got Lavoy Finicum dead. Thank heavens others haven't died, Andrea.
Absolutely.
All right, so who's Eric's attorney and what's happening for Eric specifically then? His trial starts now. They're selecting jury members?
Yes, we just finished day two of jury selection. We actually had some guests in the courtroom yesterday. Bob Barr and Larry Klayman came and sat through half of jury selection yesterday. And you definitely saw that that affected the judge and the prosecutors. I mean, their jaws dropped as they walked into courtroom and sat down with us to watch what was going on.
And that's good news that we have more attention to it. Larry Klayman has done a lot of good. Bob Barr's done some good as well. But is there enough media here to really focus on this and get out the truth? I think that's the biggest piece we struggle with. Where's Alex Jones? Where's Glenn Beck? Where's Michael Savage? Where's a lot of these people that could help this cause?
Absolutely. There was Fox News down at jury selection this time. You know, we went through this trial already once. And I was the, you know, only one when we first got there. I came down and I would do my live stream and get out what was going on. And there was no one else covering it. The Las Vegas Review-Journal actually does come to the courtroom and they do a pretty good job. They're there very often, like almost every day. So that's something. But any mainstream media, I believe they're told to not cover this. And now it's gotten to the point where, you know, because I'm out speaking about it, there's other people that have showed up and started speaking out about it. And then the Las Vegas Review-Journal, it's gotten to be such a big story, even without the mainstream, that they have to start covering it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we must take back the narrative and force their hand. That's what the New Media Taking Center Stage is designed to do. Andrea Parker, wife of Eric Parker, with us. We're covering the retrial because of the mistrial. Double jeopardy going on. In seconds.
The first time I ever truly took a drink was the summer before my freshman year of high school.
When I was 12, I went to a party and everybody was drinking, and so I just grabbed me a beer and started drinking.
The first time I drank, you know, it was fun. Fun to game, see if we can do it without getting caught. But I didn't know that I was going to want it more.
I wasn't drinking beer. It took too long to get drunk, and I didn't like the taste very well.
You know, it got to the point where I was drinking so much, I was getting bored with the feeling. I was getting bored with the buzz.
That's all that goes through your head is, when am I going to get wasted again?
You know, I started in slowly, you know, with pot. Then you just slowly move up the scale. It's the typical story of a drug user.
Beer's the easiest thing for teenagers to get, and so they take one beer, which is like your first step.
Don't even do it. It's not worth it. Take it from somebody who knows.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is, you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, we're talking to Andrea Parker, wife of Eric Parker. The retrial begins. They're selecting juries yesterday and today. Now, Larry Klayman and Bob Barr did attend the judges and other officials, prosecutors, etc. Jaws dropped when they walked in. But here's the problem that I see. All right? Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Appeals panel will not let Larry Klayman defend Cliven Bundy. Now, what's up with this? The court literally denied. Bundy and others wanted a different attorney. They wanted Larry Klayman. Court denies Cliven Bundy's petition for a different attorney. Now, how can they do this, Andrea? This is critical to understand because at every turn, due process of law is violated. So now he can't have an attorney? Larry Klayman can't do it? Where's the law that says that?
I don't know. I used to believe that we would go to court, we would have our day in court, and we have the truth with us, and so we would come out victorious. And what I've seen since I've got to court is there are no longer checks and balances. The courtroom is a fraud, and they are doing everything they can to prevent us from bringing any truth into the courtroom. They refuse to let Dan Love take the stand in the first trial. That's pretty much taking away our right to face our oppressor. He is the one that testified to the grand jury to get this indictment, and they were able to get this indictment because of what was going on in Oregon. They're like, well, here they're doing it again, and they pushed, and they went to a grand jury two times. The first time, the grand jury said, no, they're not going to do this. And what we have here is such a political case that it is going to be so difficult to get 12 people to agree. It is.
Well,
what do we look at? A hung jury every time? A mistrial, and this just keeps going in an awful circle? Well,
but a hung jury shouldn't be a mistrial. If they can't agree, then you go free. Isn't that the way it used to be there, Tim?
Well, and here's the thing that Andrea makes a good point on, is that how can you feel like you're getting a trial and it's impartial or it's fair when it seems like the judge and the prosecution are working against you? I mean, this is absurd, and this is exactly what's going on in this case in Nevada. It's this judge has already made up her mind, and she is on a mission to convince the jurors to convict. And she's doing everything she can to throw out the evidence that would sway them otherwise. And so this is what really upsets individuals and really gives people distrust in the system that they used to once have faith in. And until you see this, and until you're involved in it, like Andrea and the others out there, you're heartbroken when you see the real travesty here. And this is something that America needs to wake up and realize. There needs to be a major review of our judicial system. There needs to be judges that need to be revoked, recalled, whatever they have to do. They should not be taking sides on cases. They should not be doing this. But, you know, it seems like the judges have impunity and they can do whatever they want with people's lives.
Now, I asked.
There is no repercussion.
I asked where Michael Savage, Alex Jones, Glenn Beck, many others are in this. I asked that of the media. Where's CNN? Where's Fox? I don't mean just a recursory report. I mean digging into the details of the wrong that is taking place here, of the denying of the truth. Bundy's can't have Larry Klayman as their attorney. Why not? This idea that they were, divided up. Well, they were held because we got to try them all together and then we divide them up scenario. Oh, we're just giving you what you want. Lie. Violating due process, violating the speedy trial idea, not letting them submit evidence into court. We've talked to several of the attorneys over the years about this. This is serious business. But then the next question is this. Where are political leaders, though? Where's Rand Paul? Where is Ron Paul? Where is Ted Cruz? Where is Mike Lee? Where is Justin Amash? And I can go on and on about these so-called conservative leaders who could make a difference and bring some real attention to this. But they seem to be MIA, Andrea.
Yes, we definitely have had some issues getting people to hear us out and to listen to us. Now, I mostly have tried to contact people in my state, and Raul Labrador is one in my state that I've tried really hard to contact. And I even had to get to the point being with another state representative and have that person call him and hand me the phone to even get through. And then after that, an assistant called back and was like, you know, they give you the, yeah, we'll get back to you kind of thing. And then you never hear from them again.
We'll look into it. All right. Are there any are there any Idaho legislative members willing to speak up or do anything in this case on your behalf?
There is Heather is a very good legislator in Idaho that is very upset. She's part of the Cows Coalition out there, I believe. Which those individuals, I believe, have spoken up.
And we're talking about Heather Scott and Matt Shea and others, right?
Yes. It, correct me if I'm wrong, Andrea, that hasn't that group yet spoken in support of the freeing of these individuals?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. There's an effort there. And I was in Carson City, Nevada with Ammon Bundy and Matt Shea testifying before the Nevada State Legislature. I was with Ammon and Matt and others, and we testified in defense of land rights. And, you know, sadly, ladies and gentlemen, the protection of life, liberty, and property is paramount here. And what you've got is the government taking life and denying people's rights to property. This is at the core of all this. All right, so what does the attorney say for Eric's case, and what do we think the odds are? Are they just going to literally violate every law and just convict and throw away the key for these guys?
Stephen Myrie and the prosecution have put in a big motion. Their motion, they do not want these guys to be able to talk, to speak to their state of mind. They will not give them the self-defense. They've refused to give us the self-defense jury instruction. They have stacked everything against us. They don't want us. They told us, you can't bring any witness that wasn't there the day of the 12th in the last trial. And then they said, any witness that comes in that was there the day of the 12th, we are going to appoint them a lawyer. We're going to tell them that this is an ongoing investigation. And if they testify, they could incriminate themselves and be indicted as they leave.
In other words, they're making sure that there's no real witnesses that can come to the defense to paint a picture for the jury that would be truthful.
Absolutely.
That is,
and
that
they
is
have
criminal
pretty much
action
made it
in
so. Exactly. And they've made it so Eric had to take the stand himself in the first trial. And the jury responded well to Eric taking the stand. So now what they've done is made this motion that goes practically through everything that Eric said on the stand, and they're trying to make it so he can't take the stand. Not only that, but they've decided now, like the first trial, 3% of Idaho and Sugar Pine Mine and White Hope Mine, that was irrelevant, and they weren't allowed to bring that up. But now this time, they're going to bring all of that in. And I don't know how it goes that during one trial, it can be irrelevant. And at the very next trial, all of a sudden, it's relevant.
But hold on. The 3%ers have nothing to do with Eric, and these other groups have nothing to do with Eric. They acted on their own separate from anything Eric ever did, right?
Well, Eric, later, after the ranch, went back and joined the 3% of Idaho.
And yeah, but hold on a minute. The 3% of Idaho and after the fact has nothing to do with Bundy Ranch.
No, it doesn't. But they're bringing it in because they want to paint a picture. They want to use jury nullification against us and paint a picture of this person that constantly goes around matching force with the federal government.
Then we need to paint a picture that the jury said that they were not guilty in Oregon if we're going to paint that picture.
Well, and that's the other thing is they don't want to bring up the Malheur Refuge because there is actually a video of one of the meetings when they talk about going into the Malheur Refuge where my husband says, no, I'm not going to do it. And that kind of blows a huge hole in their picture.
And by the way, that's why I should be able to testify as well, because I said, no, I'm not going to do it as well. We turned around and left. So did Richard Mack. We wrote a press release that we were not joining that. That would prove there wasn't the conspiracy or the pre-planning they thought. When many of us found out about it, we said no on the spot. If there was collusion and if there was an attempt for us all to be involved in this conspiracy, there would not have been people on the live deciding not to join.
Well, Sam, and this whole thing brings up how I first met Eric, and this is why I think this is so crucial, because I first interviewed Eric when he was out there in Oregon with the Hammonds, and I was interviewing him as to what was really going on out there. And here's a guy that everybody's trying, you know, the government's trying to paint out like all this 3%ers, or they're a militia group, they're horrible. And I interviewed him and was shocked at what he was there doing. You know what he was there doing, Sam? He was there shoveling driveways out for people, helping people who needed, you know, getting groceries, anything. He was there to help the individuals in the community. And I said, well, the government, the news is trying to paint out like you guys are a militia group. They're trying to, threaten the public and cause harm. And he goes, no, he says, he's telling me what he actually did that day. And the kindness in that man's heart, what he was telling me about, is not the person the government is trying to paint him out to be. And this 3% thing is not the organization the government's trying to paint it out to be. They simply go to areas that are in need of help. It sounded to me like, and they provide services and whatever that service may be there to defend the citizens, help the citizens, do whatever they need to do.
All right. I want to break into this for the second hour too. We're about out of time this hour. But I want to discuss the second hour. Hopefully Andrea has a couple of people that can jump on. Pete Santilli is one person I want to talk about, because this is why I should be able to testify in defense of these guys. I was asked to go into that refuge, and I said I wasn't going to go. Eric said he wasn't going to go. But then they asked Pete Santilli, and I called Pete and said, hey, Pete, I would not go in. And Pete said, you know what? I'm a journalist. I'm not joining them because I agree with them. I will go inside and cover this issue so they'll get a fair media representation of what's really happening. And Pete went in under that viewpoint. The FBI tried to trap Pete, but I have a conversation with me and Pete about that I wanted to give to some attorneys and things so that we could clear Pete. But now Pete's stuck in Pahrump. He hasn't had a speedy trial either, and he was just a journalist. So they're absolutely going for broke on this one, because they're afraid of what will happen if the truth comes out. We'll continue next hour. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.